This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
Or if you're watching later on BitChute or Brand YouTube or Podbean, any of the podcasting apps. Thank you so much for passing 200,000 downloads, and I hope you enjoyed the Sherry Tenpenny interview that you put out exclusively for you listening on the go on any of the podcasting apps. It's an absolute thank you to you for supporting us that way. And that was thanks to Steve on my team who actually pushed the podcasting side. Now, I don't know what people want to see. Not they want to see me. They want to see the guests. But I enjoy video more. Steve pushed for the podcasting side, and that's been a blinding success. So thank you so much for tuning in. And this month looks like it will be our most popular ever once again. So thank you for downloading and listening on the go. I think we're good, everything. So we're going to jump in and do a new show after rushing in. The first one, let me bring up my list. It really is a rushed evening. Give me a moment and let me bring this up and then let me pull in any comments you have on the side and we'll jump in. So let us know how you're watching on Getter. Let us know. Don't be shy. Let us know where you're watching in the world. Always good to get an idea, a flavor of our guests on pod. On any of the podcasting apps, it's great because we get a full overview of where you are in the world, which countries have downloaded, when they've downloaded, when they've watched. It's fascinating. That isn't necessarily available on the video side, so it's always good to have your comments. So don't be shy and drop them in on Getter as you watch. But the first one we will bring in, Liz, is on the Tories breaking their immigration record for of all time. And this was Steve Laws, who was going to be with us, but it is that the Tories break immigration records. 1.2 million people came into the country, 557,000 left, gives a net immigration figure of 606,000. And it's that 600,000 figure that we've been shown in the media. But I think we mustn't forget, as Steve did point out, that a large percentage of those emigrating will be native Brits. So it's not just 606,000 coming into the UK. Actually, the figures coming into the UK, 1.2 million, and if many of the half million that left could have been Brits, then actually the 600,000 is a low number and could be much higher. But what are your thoughts are on immigration figures once again breaking all records under this lovely Tory government, Liz?
Well, I think you've all got it wrong, Peter. You see, Rishi Sunak is contemplating making maths in schools a much higher priority than we've got at the moment. So presumably we're going to do things like multiply, divide, a plus and minus, okay? And I think he thinks when it's a plus situation that things are well, because, you know, plus is sort of, you know, you always think of positive with plus. So I think this is, you know, the government requiring re-education themselves, that this is not a plus situation. This is very much a minus situation. So that's my take on it all. I mean, the figures are absolutely outrageous, Peter. And, you know, we talk about them coming over in the boats, but many of them are coming in through Gatwick and Heathrow, Manchester, etc., by plane. They're also coming across on the east coast of England, in Norfolk and Suffolk, coming across from Holland. They're coming up even as far as Middlesbrough. They're coming across and coming in. So all in all, it is an absolute disgrace. And it's no good. Whatever I talk about the Conservative government, it's just a disgrace. The other thing was, I saw a clip of Sunak on one of the mainstream media programmes. They've all got this sickly, smug self-satisfied grin on their faces when they're talking about this. I could, you know, you could smack them one. And yeah. I just don't know what to say. They think it's, you can see they think it's highly funny. I mean, I just don't understand why we can't sort this problem out. I think if we had Gerald Batten as Prime Minister, Godfrey Bloom as Chancellor of the Exchequer, we had these problems sorted out within a month to 6 weeks. There'd be no problem. You've just got to have somebody with some backbone. What has ever happened to saying no? Telling the French that, I'm sorry, if they get halfway across the channel, instead of them being picked up by us, they will be sent back on your boats. For God's sake.
Exactly. And, of course, this is the tweet, hope not hit, lovely organisation, getting involved in, or hit not hope, whatever they're called. And this was attacking Steve Laws, and they'd put up, we have been monitoring the so-called migrant hunters who harass residents of asylum accommodation hotels and spread extreme anti-migrant content. One of these key individuals is Steve Laws, a.k.a. Active Patriot, which is not true. There are two separate people, but I hope not hit are that dumb enough to get them mixed up. They do look quite different, but anyway. And here's Alan Greaves, who actually we knew well, Liz, from UKIP days, who actually ran the campaign with myself in 2019. And Alan has shared the content of, well, that was of Active Patriot and Hope Not Hate. It got confused. But again, Liz, we expect this from an organization, Hope Not Hate, attacking those who simply are concerned of the poor state of our borders.
Peter, you've got it. You actually said it earlier. It isn't Hope Not Hate. It's Hate Not Hope. They got their typing wrong when they put this up on, you know, when they first registered themselves. I think they got their typing round the wrong way. They are definitely Hate Not Hope. If you go back to what they tried to do with Tommy, if you remember Panodrama, this, what is his name, Nick Lowles, yep. God help yep. us all, said Tony Tim. These people are paid a fortune by the taxpayers, by us the taxpayers, because they're advisors to the government, etc. I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. And if anything, as I say, it's definitely Hate Not Hope. And there, I wouldn't take one word of anything they say. They never get anything right. You're right, it isn't Steve Laws, he's not Active Patriot. They're just not the same person at all. The whole thing, well, I think we're going on to talk about misinformation and disinformation. And these are the people that are paid by governments and the BBC to give information, but supposedly they're experts to give information on this sort of thing. I'm sorry, it's high time that we all got in there and sorted this whole lot out. It's certainly, as I say, Hate Not Hope, and I wouldn't trust them to, I just wouldn't trust them to do anything. A dreadful, yeah. dreadful set
full
of people.
Full stop. let me just jump on Twitter. I see Dan was first on. Good evening from County Mayo, Ireland. Lovely to have you. I never got to County Mayo in Ireland. I got to many other counties. Lived I in the Republic, of course. Have you? We've got Bitterman 1969 from Iowa. We have H.W. Logan from Idaho. Tommy AU. We have Rans 15. Hello from Brisbane, Australia. Good day from Down Under. Great to have you with us. Always fun. Do drop. We don't always bring them in, but I always do look through them after, and I love seeing the mix of viewers that we have. Been a while since we had an Aussie guest. We'll have to work on that. Liz, this is the, I guess, all the politicians completely out of touch, and this is a politician, Aisha Cairns MP, Conservative MP for Rutland and Melton, and she says we should hesitate from knee-jerk reactions on migration. Students shouldn't be included in net migration figures. The soft power dividends as academic superpower are significant. We've proudly offered refugee status to Ukrainians and BNOs, which I'm not as sure what that is, and need to fill job wealth creators have made. But I get it's Conservative MPs, Conservative in name only, not concerned about the mass immigration that we're having and the chaos it's causing on many issues. And she seems to think that actually it's no issues. And actually, the more refugees we bring in, the more migrants we bring in, the more Ukrainians we bring in, the better. I'm sure she's never had to queue for hours for A&E or fight for a child's place or had to struggle on public transport. What are your thoughts, Liz, on the out-of-touch MPs?
Well, all the MPs, Peter, are completely out of touch on every subject. I think we've got one MP out of 650 that's probably in touch, and that's Andrew Bridgen. I'm sure the Conservative Party will be rueing the day that they ever lost him, because he can now say everything he wants to from the opposite side of the benches, and he won't hold back, I'm sure. God bless Andrew Bridgen. But when you get these MPs, they've got absolutely no idea what is going on with the real world. And, you know, I look at, what's this woman's name? Alicia Kearns and what have you.
Alicia Kearns, yes.
I didn't know, and I know many people in this country didn't know, that when a student comes into the country, they have been bringing in family members to support them. So you get people on courses. So and sometimes it's been a wife or a husband and children. Other times it's been parents to support them. And they're now talking about stopping that. Well, I didn't know that was going on in the first place. So, you know, if a student, you know, if our students go to university, they don't take mother and father with them or their you know, family. It's ridiculous. And of course they must be included in the migration figures. How can you have accurate figures? You've got people coming in. They still need all the services, Peter, that we talk about. Students will still need the doctor. They'll need the dentist. They'll need, as you say, transport, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I think it's absolute madness. I've got no idea how we've let this government and previous governments get to this state. It's our fault. I've said this to you before on these programmes. It's our fault and my generation. We should have taken a stronger hold a lot earlier. And our MP is absolutely as useless as this woman appears to be. They're completely out of touch, and they don't need to be. It's now all about party. It's nothing to do with country or their constituents. If it was, the constituents would be far better informed of really what's going on in the country. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Absolutely hopeless. These MPs want the standard of MPs these days is so poor. You know, many of them you wouldn't even have a normal conversation with. I've got no time for any of them, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to how out of touch our councils are. And this is Sheffield Council. Instead of worried about the the issues that the population face, they're looking at St. George. And this is St. George Floyd. This is today we are remembering George Floyd, who 3 years ago was killed by a former US police officer. I think he was killed by a drug overdose, but anyway. In Sheffield, we're committed to a 3-year improvement plan to become an anti-racist city and are currently carrying out a 6-month review on the initial targets. I have no idea what it means to be an anti-racist city, but they're working on this. And again, it's sad that the champion of a anti-racism campaign is an individual who no one would want to grow up and be like, which is a drug addict and someone who abused many people around him. But what are your thoughts about Sheffield City Council, Liz?
I think it's about time Sheffield City Council took account of what's going on in their own city, Peter. Instead of worrying about something that's happened in America, nobody wanted to see anybody killed. But I do believe the man that was killed actually attacked a pregnant woman, if I remember rightly. He was a drug addict and a criminal. And, you know, to put him up like this and, you know, following that, you got Black Lives Matter. And I understand the people at the top of Black Lives Matter appear to have taken off all the money, because Black Lives Matter is about to go into liquidation if you listen to what's happening in America at the moment. And, you know, Sheffield City Council will be far better tasked to sort out the problems in their own city, of which there are many. People in this country have never, ever been racist. Well, you'll always get one or two, but this is one of the kindest nations on earth. Otherwise, why would people want to come here? I'm just sick to death of being called racist or far right, etc. We're the kindest of nations. And incidentally, I think you said, is it a BNO? British Nationals Overseas, Peter, is a BNO. So this is what we, you know, and I quite agree. Of course, these people should come in, and refugees from war. But these people coming in now aren't refugees from war. Let's be honest about it. If they were, that we would welcome them with open arms. I remember the people fleeing Idi Amin, the Asian Africans coming over. I remember the Vietnamese coming over. Nobody had a problem. But this is completely out of control. And as I say, Sheffield City Council ought to be ashamed of themselves. They want to sort out the problems in their own city without worrying about what somebody happened in America 3 years ago. And he was a criminal to boot. So I've got no time for any of this.
Yeah. Let's bring up some videos. I'm just messaging my producer. I'm going to bring up, this is the first one on the BBC's new claim to protect us all. Let me play. It's a 2 minute clip, but we'll try and play all 2 minutes of it. And this is what the BBC are proposing for us all. So here is the BBC's Truth Project.
Welcome to BBC Verify. Like you said, we are a team of investigative journalists here at the BBC. We are also a new brand, and we are a physical location above the newsroom in London. And the point of the team, as you said, is to verify video, to fact check, to counter disinformation, and to analyse really complex stories so we can get to the truth of what's going on. Why does this matter? Well, mistruths can cause really serious harm to society and to the people in them. And so we want to show you our workings and really help you understand how we get to the bottom of what's happening. And I'm going to give you a bit of a flavour of the kind of work that the team are doing. So we're able to look at maps to geolocate specific situations, stuff that's going on. This is just a map of central London, where we are now. And this is New Broadcasting House, where I'm speaking to you from. And it's not so important perhaps for the centre of London, but it is when we're analysing war zones or what's happening in hard to reach places. And there's a story on the BBC website today. It's looking at Russian fortifications on the front lines in Ukraine. And you can read more about it there. And there are other ways that we also are able to interrogate what's going on, including on social media. I have some undercover accounts that I've set up for the BBC's Americast podcast. And we use these kinds of undercover accounts. And these are the characters that the accounts to be able to really understand polarisation online and how what's happening on our social media feeds and what we're being recommended and pushed to us can affect all of us. And they don't offer us a totally exhaustive insight into what's going on, but they can help us understand just how social media works. And then there's also investigating other mistruths and the real world harm they can cause. At the moment, I'm investigating the UK's conspiracy theory movement. I'm trying to understand more about how it's evolved and intensified since the pandemic here in the UK. I'm looking at the alternative media that finds itself at the heart of this movement and a conspiracy theory newspaper that's a part of that as well. I'm looking at the way that alternative media is funded. I'm looking at its impact on local communities. I'm looking at its connections with far right figures and also its foreign links. That's for a podcast series that will be coming out in June. It's called Mariana in Conspiracy Land, and it will be available on BBC Sounds, Radio 4, asking that question, could January the 6th or a German coup attempt like we saw there ever happen here in the UK? So there's a real range of journalism BBC Verify will be doing, and you'll be able to see it online, on iPlayer, across BBC News, on your televisions and radio. So do look out for it.
Mariana Conspiracy Land. I'm actually looking forward to that series. I'm going to love it. I really am going to love it. What are your thoughts on that, Liz?
Where do you want me to start, Peter? we're not on YouTube, are we?
We're not. Don't worry. I promise we're not.
Right. I don't know where to start. I can tell you now. This woman, if this is the best the BBC can muster with all the money that they get, God help us all, said Tiny Tim. I'll tell you what. I remember, Peter, that... when we had the BBC have a royal charter, okay, they have to put both sides of the coin. Is that right? They had to give proper reporting. Now, when we went to Brexit, I think Lord Pearson was involved with a cross-party people. Was it Newswatch? And they analysed every bit of news from the BBC. And for the campaign that with Brexit, it was 92% for Remain and 8% for Brexit. Okay? So this is the BBC. This is their way that their journalists work. You can tell. They're really investigative journalists. 92% for and 8% for us for Leave. I tell you. They talking about how we're funded. I'll tell you how we're funded, Marianne Spring. We're funded because silly old farts like myself, who's an old age pensioner who should be enjoying herself, does everything by spending the money that they've got that they should be enjoying to make sure that people like you, who I can't tell you the words that I'd like to use about the dear lady, but so that you have a job. I can tell you now, it's us that will tell you the truth. And you know, I think there's 60 of them, isn't there? They've got 60 people working in this department. Yeah. And if you go on to a wonderful paper called The Conservative Woman, nothing to do with the Conservative Party, there's a wonderful article this week. I wish I'd have written. I have written, but not quite, by John Elwood, called BBC Vilify. And it's so funny. You know, it says, right, these are the facts. I'll just give you a couple of fact checks. We've got Bill Gates going to see Jeffrey Epstein, okay? Now, what would Bill Gates want to have all these visits to his islands, etc., with Jeffrey Epstein? Well, fact checks have found out it's to do with Ludo and Scrabble, okay? This is what he's going to go when he's going over there, Ludo and Scrabble. So it's been checked out. That's what he was going for. If you look at climate change, you know, where would you get your fact from? Oh, Greta Thunberg. That would be the way you check your fact. I can tell you now, Peter, how anybody is still paying the licence fee for this bloody corporation, I have got no idea. BBC used to stand for the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. It now stands for publishing broadcast bullshit constantly, I think is what we called it now. That's exactly right. Broadcast bullshit constantly. And it's exactly right. If this organisation, if this department is still in place in the next month, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah. Well, let me move on to Andrew Bridgen, who you mentioned as the one MP in 650 who's actually speaking truth. There have been a few others who have quietly... I know Esther McVeigh and Dennis Swinn. I know others have been vocal, Christopher Chopp, but actually it is Andrew Bridgen who spoke up so boldly that he was thrown out of the party and is now in Reclaim. And I'm excited what happens to Reclaim on that. But let's just play Andrew Bridgen's 50-second clip this week in the House of Commons.
This week we saw the BBC unveil its new Verify unit. Madam Deputy Speaker, if only we'd had such a unit in 2021 to scrutinise the disinformation we were told about the COVID-19 vaccines themselves. The House might recall we were told the experimental treatments will stay in your arm. They won't pass around your body. Completely incorrect. These vaccines will stop you contracting and transmitting the virus. Completely wrong. Safe and effective is not ageing well, Madam Deputy Speaker. All of this disinformation was spread by the BBC itself, which is now holding itself up as the arbiter of truth. The question is, Madam Deputy Speaker, who checks the checkers, especially when they have such a checkered history on this subject? Can we have a statement regarding the discussions the government's had with the BBC on the setting up of this new unit?
I mean, he is an absolute hero for standing up and talking about not only that, but a whole range of us all more talking about the whole transgender nonsense happening. But it was beautiful to say who checks the checkers. You've obviously watched Andrew Bridgen speaking truth, being a lonely voice in that chamber. Tell us what your thoughts are on him.
You know, I've messaged him on several occasions now, and I hope that, you know, he stays with the Reclaim Party and they actually go for gold, because I think he could have been swallowed up by the Reform Party, and he wasn't. And, you know, I know there was a huge backlash against Richard Tice for not taking him, quite rightly so, in my opinion. This is my opinion, nobody else's. But I think the man is absolutely marvellous. And I should think, as I said to you earlier, the Conservatives must be worried sick now, because this is not the only thing he's going to bring out while he's standing there. He can say now what he's free to say and what anybody with any form of backbone in the House of Commons would be stood up. They would all get together and tell everybody exactly what's going on, the reasons behind it all, the fact the government doesn't govern anymore, et cetera, Peter. I think it's absolutely marvellous. And going on the COVID thing, I don't know whether you've seen a report today that in America, there's a report come out that one in 13 people receiving the vaccine have sought medical attention. One in 13. And yet we've got the MHRA here over here, that awful organisation, 85% funded by the pharmaceutical companies, saying there's nothing to see here, all safe and effective. I think all these people should be at the Nuremberg trials. And, you know, God bless Andrew Bridgen. Keep going, Andrew, for all our sakes. What a pity that you can't get others to join you. Christopher Choate, where are you? Ian Duncan Smith, where are you? John Redwood. I can name them all, Peter. You've mentioned Esther McVeigh. There's so many of them. Steve Baker, who was going to stand for leadership. He was very enthusiastic one day, and the following day he stood down. Why? You know, where are you all? I'm afraid they're a complete shower of shit, and that's the only way I can describe them. And as for Damien Collins, Damien Collins, wonderful man. And he started a programme called Infotagium, to call out all this disinformation and misinformation. He's director of, and he was doing interview. He interviewed the wonderful Christopher Steele, who nearly tried to bring down Donald Trump on a completely made-up charge, you know. And I noticed that Infotagium has suddenly seemed to have disappeared, and so much has gone off its website. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't trust any of these people, Peter. And God bless Andrew Bridgen. Keep going. That's all I can say.
Liz, your figure on 1 in 13, was that on Epoch Times? Because I saw it, but couldn't locate it.
Right. It's certainly in the States. It's certainly an official report. And I'm afraid I just glanced at it when you came on to me earlier. It was a bit rushed this evening, so I haven't been there. Don't worry.
You're forgiven, Liz. You're forgiven for not giving all your sources. Don't you worry.
But can I just tell you, it is, if you look it up, it's 1 in 13 with the mRNA vaccine have sought medical attention.
No, yeah, we'll look that up.
Terrifying.
I think it could have been Epoch Times. Epoch Times is phenomenal what they put out. So much stuff. And I saw one thing on recently was just for the viewers, and we'll not discuss it, but that Kirk Cameron is going to release a children's book during Pride Month, and the title is Pride Comes Before the Fall. Beautiful. Kirk Franklin's absolute legend, and I look forward to actually getting hold of that and reading it. So we'll see. But staying on the BBC Verify, what Andrew Bridgen said was powerful, and he posted this, and this is BBC Health Check. This is the BBC telling us, he says, as I said in the chamber this week, such a shame the BBC Verify unit was not there in 2021 to counter disinformation about the COVID-19 vaccine. This was the BBC telling us the bullshit advice that COVID-19 vaccines prevent 100% of deaths. Even if this was a vaccine that worked, it wouldn't prevent 100%. So just if you take any medication, no medication is 100% effective. Now, we've been shown that this is not 100%, but much, much less than that, if it is effective at all. But you know, the side effects. And Liz, I think Andrew Bridgen makes a fantastic point that the BBC are the biggest source of misinformation, and yet they claim to protect us against misinformation. And I think many people have seen through that and realised the BBC are not actually fit for purpose anymore.
All they are, Peter, is propagandists. There's no other word for them. I have to smile when they say they've got journalists there. I don't know what the journalists are doing. In my day, journalism was about sorting out the actual truth, sorting out the facts, and putting both sides of the argument. Where were all the doctors who actually, virologists, epidemiologists, we've interviewed many of them, that came out and said, you know, this is not correct, etc. Where did the BBC interview these people? And they say about the alternative media, it's only us that have done our jobs. You know, I'm so angry. If I could get to Broadcasting House, do you know, I first broadcast from Bush House, as it was in those days, when I was 4 years old. And I did a broadcast to Canada, would you believe, a Christmas message when I was only four. And they took me up and, you know, so I've been with the BBC for a long time. And they taught me how to speak in public. I had a course with them, with Sir Jimmy Goldsmith paid for me to have a course to go so that when I went on stage, I could talk to people and not just stand there and read messages and what have you. So I've got an awful lot to be grateful to the BBC for. But this lot, I can tell you now, and you look at the man who looked after Boris Johnson, and, you know, did he come out of JP Morgan, Grenfell, or, I mean, what the hell has he got to do with broadcasting? You know, where are the ordinary people that should be in there? You know, the ordinary listener who's got a little bit about them would make a much better chairman of the BBC than these idiots that they've got in there at the moment. I'm just furious. I haven't paid a BBC licence fee for years. I don't intend to start now, I don't know.
Not completely. When Liz was, before I went to the next story, there was a picture I saw. Let me bring it up. When Liz was talking about not getting the time to check up on some of the stories we were going to do. Oh, it's not full screen, is it? Let me try and bring this up. It's only part screen. Oh, can you actually see it? So it says, watch out, there's a waterfall. And the person in the boat says, source. They're looking for a source. And I think that, I don't know why I can't get that full screen, but that sums up a lot of what we, I can actually bring it up. Sorry, my technical ability has just improved slightly. Let me put that up. There you go. Watch out, there's a waterfall source. And I think many people are like that, that when you point out the information, they're saying, well, you need to tell us the scientific evidence for that, the source, and yet they're willing to believe Hancock on anything. So I thought of that as we were discussing, as you were saying, you didn't have time.
Peter, I went to our local pub a couple of weeks ago, and I was accosted by, I don't go out very often these days, but I've got too much work to do, but I was accosted by a lady who said that she was a journalist and she was a lefty. I mean, I'd never seen this woman before in my life. And she looked at me and she said, and I suppose you're against this climate change. You know, never met me before. So I looked at her and I said, climate change? I said, as a matter of fact, yes, I am, except there has always been climate change. And I said, so you've been a journalist? She said, yes. I said, so how much CO2 is in the atmosphere? And she looked at me completely blankly. And then I said, and how much do we contribute in the UK to it? And complete blank. And I said, I suggest as a journalist, you go away and find out your answers before accosting people like me who know the answers. And with that, I turned my back. I was so angry. I just had a quiet drink with, you know, it's just, but these are the people, they've got no idea what they're talking about. Look at what they did to Tommy Robinson. You know, he's far right, he's this, he's that. He's none of this, nothing of the sort. That nobody does any work anymore. They just all spout exactly what the next person spout. Nobody does any work. I wouldn't pay any of them. I wouldn't give them a farthing.
And mentioning Tommy, just moving on, Tommy documentary, which isn't allowed to be released, I understand, but Mice Media have released it. Do make sure and watch that, and it shows the other side of the story. which looks like a playground spat, but actually is much deeper than that and shows the rottenness of the British legal establishment. But Mice Media, I think, released that. We will repost it later on tonight, tomorrow. I know it's just come out. We haven't got a chance to, but we will certainly do that. Make sure you watch that and absorb the truth that Tommy is putting out. But that's whole, well, not, I just wanted to mention that, as Liz, you mentioned Mr. Robinson himself. This is moving on to the issue of immigration, uncontrolled immigration. And this is a hotel in Lanney in Wales proposed as potential accommodation for in excess of 300 asylum seekers. The council, politicians and public bodies have said they're extremely concerned by the risks of the proposal. This is happening up and down the country. Hotels being turned into refugee asylum camps. What are your thoughts on what has been done to our hotels turned into basically these individuals should really come in and they should be sent back, but instead we seem to be providing a new life for all those who, why should they have a new life here? But what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you won't know, Peter, I don't know how much you're into rugby, but Stradley Park, Stradley and Llanelli are absolutely at the heart of Wales, really. The Scarlets from Llanelli played at Stradley, and you've only got to look at the great Max Boyce from Wales and know the affection that everybody has for Stradley Park. Now, to see that beautiful hotel turned, far from being a place for tourists and business people, to be turned into an asylum seekers hotel is absolutely a disgrace. We've got hotels down the country that have been absolutely gutted inside. Now, of course, the government will pay when they finish, if they ever finish using them. There's a wonderful hotel in Scarborough, the biggest hotel and the oldest, which was the absolute jewel in the crown, if you like, of Scarborough. It's been absolutely decimated. And, you know, this same will happen to Stradley, and it's a beautiful hotel. I haven't actually stayed there, but I do know the hotel. Absolutely beautiful. The problem has been that so many of the hoteliers suffered so badly back in 2021 when there was the lockdown and what have you, that I can see the carrot to help them through what has been difficult times. But I think what we need is a list of all hotels who have refused the government, refused to take all this up, and we all ought to support them. I think it's absolutely outrageous. You know, these people come here, they've got no papers, most of them. They've ditched them in the channel or ditched them in the toilets on the aircraft coming over. You know, there's no way they should be in luxury hotels. And look at our own people who are now being thrown out of rented accommodation because they can't afford it, because the prices have gone up, because the councils and everybody will pay more, the government will pay more. So our own people are out on the street or living in vans. There's a woman around here, she's 66 years old, worked hard all her life, etc. She's now had to buy a van because the rent went from 300 to 800. It's just absolutely outrageous. This government wants, this is supposed to be a Conservative government. We used to swear about the Labour government, but for God's sake, Peter, and to see these beautiful hotels where, you know, it's the sort of place I go and stay when I go down to South Wales working, etc. It's beautiful, and there's no way that they should be used like this.
Yep. There was a comment. Baseballs on Getter says the illegals here in New York are destroying the $500 a night hotels. I'm sure they are. I'm sorry that you're stuck in New York. R.M. Voorhees says, greetings from New Orleans. Good to have you. Do drop your places off where you are watching this evening, this afternoon, wherever you are based. Liz, I don't know how much of this story you know, so I'll just bring it up. If you don't, you can bash it back to me. And this is TikToker Mizzy, fined for entering home for prank video. The individual thought it'd be funny to go in, walk into people's houses and film. And the individual's been fined £350, which seems very little for trespassing. Have you watched this, Liz?
I have, Peter. I've not only watched it, I've also seen that this young man's been in trouble before, and there's no way that he should just have got away with a fine. He terrorised the family that was there. He wouldn't leave. The two young children that were in there were terrorised. And, of course, you know, when you've got children going to bed at night, they're thinking somebody breaking into their homes is absolutely outrageous. I don't know what the hell we think we're doing. And, you know, they get a slap on the wrist, a £200 fine, which presumably mummy or daddy will pay. He doesn't look as if he comes from a poor home looking at him. So somebody will pay that. And that's it, a slap on the wrist. There is no deterrent anymore for any of this. And I just think it's absolutely outrageous. That poor family, you know, there is no justice for the people that have had these crimes perpetrated on them. There's just no justice at all anymore. You know, we just give these people a slap on the wrist and et cetera, et cetera. I give you more than a slap on the wrist, Peter, I tell you. And there is no discipline. That's half the problem, isn't it? There's just no discipline.
Yeah, and how blatant the individual is. I mean, done it numerous times. I suppose he was arrested again. But actually, there was a picture. Let me bring up. We posted. Can I find it? There we go. Let me bring up the picture we put up, which actually seems to describe it. Because I kind of think maybe I'm falling into your rabbit hole, Liz. But this is a whole psyops that we are seeing. This was a beautiful picture we posted on our Getter channel and our Twitter. We deserve better psyops. That. What has happened when you saw the individual being arrested, Mizzies, all for the cameras? The police were there beside him, waiting. The cameras were rolling, and then slowly they walked in. It seemed to be all organized and orchestrated. And to think that someone just breaking into your house like that, that's just a slap on the wrist. And Mizzy seemed to say that actually I can do anything I want because of the British legal system. And then I think was on with Piers Morgan, who's on Talk TV discussing it. Just the whole thing doesn't really make sense to celebrate law breaking and to get such a low slap on the wrist. And if you get your dog to do, your pug to do Nazi salute, you get times that in punishment, as Marcus found out. Just the whole thing is very weird and doesn't really add up.
I think the whole of the judicial system, Peter, has been as much bought as the political system has been, the school system has been. Every system that we've got has been bought somewhere along the line, and certainly the judicial system has been. And it looks to me as if there's a young black lad gone in. Nobody's looked at the antecedents of what he's gone before. Certainly a fine like that. He thought it was funny. I wonder if people, can you imagine if you or I did it in reverse to the homes of a black couple and what have you? What would happen to us? What would happen to a white boy who'd done the same to a black family? Can you just imagine that? Can you imagine your Piers Morgans and your Jeremy Vines, etc., who vilified Tommy over the Syrian boy? You want to watch that Mice Media on Tommy. You know, they vilified him, and it wasn't anything like the real story. People like Piers Morgan make me absolutely sick.
Yeah, I'd agree. Let me bring up this Pro Jam. Can you just double click on that and bring that up full screen? This is an ITV news story. Senior serving Bedfordshire police officer in court to face multiple rape charges. Who'd have thought? This is Superintendent Mo Aziz, I guess that's Mohammed, a serving police officer whose work was recognised in the Queen's Birthday's Honours List, is appearing in front of court with a string of offences, including rape and coercive controlling behaviour. I'm not sure if he got awarded the medal in the Queen's Birthday Honours for rape. I don't know if that's a new medal that people receive. But it shows the collapse of our police. And it also shows, I think it shows, and you may disagree, Liz, but where we have Muslims in our police force who seem to be able to get away with anything. But that's a fear from our institutions of being called racist, Islamophobic. Therefore, they can get away with it, which you saw in the grooming gangs. But it's, I mean, I wouldn't want to phone 999 if I knew that actually the officer could come around and just rape people. It's not really the 999 call you want to make, is it, Liz?
No, it isn't. Peter, I'm like you. I worry terribly. We don't know much about this. And of course, these are only allegations at the moment. We must be careful that this man has not been convicted. But, you know, we've had a lord, a Muslim lord recently in court in, I think, certainly up in the, I think Peterborough, not, oh no, it was Rotherham, wasn't it? It was Rotherham, yes. And, you know, across the country, we've got this problem. It's not always being brought out, but, you know, you have to wonder whether he's been involved with other people as well, or was he just you know, if he has done this, it was just him acting alone, or whether he's been acting in a gang, we just don't know. So, but what upset me, that really does upset me, but what upset me even more was up in Manchester when they set up an organisation to help some of these girls. They put in charge of it for these girls to go to another Muslim. I mean, I couldn't believe the insensitivity. He's probably a wonderful guy, so please don't think I'm having a go at the Muslims per se, because I most certainly am not. But if I'd been multiply raped by a gang of Muslim men, the last person I'd want to go and explain it all to would be another. I mean, it's just so insensitive, Peter. I don't know what's happening to the police force. I've got no problem. Incidentally, I haven't got a problem with Muslim people. I've worked with many, and many I go to the ends of the earth for. But this particular sort of Islamist, I know there's no words to describe the evil that they have perpetrated. You have to wonder what goes on behind their clothes as well, because people would be far too scared to speak out. And so I don't possibly that they've been, you know, fully investigated for everything. It's the whole thing. But to see a police officer, I think, you know, when you look at police officers across the country, there's hundreds of them under investigation for sexual sex crimes. And, you know, what are they doing in the police force? Yeah. Some of these have had the crimes before they've joined the force.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the powers of the police, instead of doing hate crimes and thought crimes and what have you, they need to get back to basics. Look at Wayne Cousins. I mean, back in 2015, he was had up in Kent and nothing happened to him, you know, for indecent exposure. If they'd been sorted out in 2015, he might have been sorted out, because obviously there's nothing wrong with the man. I mean, you know, I don't think normal people go around doing what he did. But, you know, and then that poor girl would still be alive. The police have got a lot to answer for, Peter. The standard, again, like everything else, is so poor.
I agree. Well, let's go stick on the immigration side. I saw that, there was Marge Dawes on Getter, says, I'm tuning in from South Devon. Good to have you from South Devon, down in the West Country. Let's bring up the issue of immigration again. And this is the Telegraph. England needs 600,000 new homes in order to cope with immigration surge. There, obviously, a few people coming in, they put a lot of pressure on what we have in the UK, housing, education, health, transport. And this says that UK will need to double house building target to meet demand. It's absolutely impossible. We've talked about the housing crisis for decades, and every year it's discussed the number of properties being built goes down and down. And this, the Centre for Policy Studies is now saying the government needs to double. We'll just click their fingers and it doubles. But the government seemed to have made no assessment for the impact of mass immigration, Liz. I guess you're also of the same concern that actually they don't seem to care the impact it causes to all the rest of us.
Peter, if you look at this and look at the excess deaths at the moment in this country. We were running, I think last week or the week before, it dropped a bit, but between 2,000 and 2,500 excess deaths a week. Yep. So is this what they're banking on? Is this what they know is happening? No, I'm serious. You know, if you look at these things in a different light, you think, well, if all these people are dying, 2,000 a week times 52, what have you got there? 100,000 people? You know, if you look at the death rate, and I'm not being, which is not being investigated, and God bless Andrew Bridgen for bringing it up, but look at it that way. The people coming in, you know, it with the people that are dying off, it doesn't look as if they need quite as many as they think, as we think they do. But, you know, so you have to wonder if the government knows more than we do. And there's now talk of a new pandemic. The World Health Organization are talking about the next pandemic when it hits, you know, not if it hits, it's when. You know, if you look at all of this, Peter, you have to wonder that the reason they're off the back foot and, you know, sort of laid back about this is, what do they know?
Yep, no, exactly. Let's bring up, and then we'll just finish on two videos to play us out. But this is in the UK, 22nd of May, 5 days ago. And Steve Laws put this up, which I thought was extremely important to remember what has gone before. Lee Rigby murdered in 2013, May 22nd. And also on May the 22nd, the Manchester Arena bombing, 22 people murdered in 2017. And Liz, it's vital that we remember these instances, these evil attacks, these terrorist attacks on our population, both of them by individuals inspired by Islam. You can have the debate whether or not that was correct or not, but certainly what they read inspired them to do this. And I don't think we have learned the lessons from that, Liz.
No. And if you think about Sheffield City Council and what we talked about earlier, here we are reflecting on the death of a man in America who was a villain 3 years ago, while we were reflecting on the wonderful young soldier that died and all the people in the Manchester bombings and the other bombings that have occurred in this country and, you know, the girls that have been multiply raped and what have you. Our priorities have gone out of the window. And, you know, I totally agree. You know, when you look at Lee Rigby, my family have all come out of the armed forces, as you know, etc. So I just find it all impossible to understand.
Yeah. Well, Liz, let's just play out on two videos. This is the public's anger at the Stop the Oil protests, and also is a video showing the immigration destruction of the Republic of Ireland. I think it's Dublin, looking more like Calais. Let me just play these two. I may we'll make some comments with after both of them at the end. So here's the first one.
Absolutely disgusting, boys.
And let me play the other one, and then we'll make some comments on them at the end to finish off. Hold off, Liz. This will get it boiling even more. 1 minute. The first one was stop oil demonstrators, an individual member of the public removing them and the police becoming the enemy, targeting their hatred of the British public, how despicable they are, that they don't give a damn, that people's livelihoods are destroyed, but they'll arrest anyone for standing up. And the second one was the Light newspaper in Ireland, putting that video up of Dublin looking more like Calais, or maybe looking more like L.A., Liz, your thought, it's the enemy becoming, the police becoming the enemy of the people, and the 10 cities, Ireland being decimated. As we finish, give us your final thoughts on those.
Right. Well, let's look at the Just Stop Oil protesters. I remember being in London, peacefully stood in Trafalgar Square, listening to medics talking about the COVID supposed pandemic, the vaccinations and what have you. I remember being attacked by the police, stood in Trafalgar Square. We weren't stopping any traffic. We were all stood in Trafalgar Square and we were all attacked. Do you remember that?
You know,
it took me 6 months to walk properly after that one, I can tell you. I got so badly hurt. But that's one thing. And, you know, these Just Stop Oil protesters, they arrest the poor chap who's trying to get to work. Now, if I remember rightly, a few months ago, a lady died in an ambulance because they couldn't get through because of these buggers, idle, whatever you'd like to call them. So the police, instead of arresting the people for Just Stop Oil, getting them off the road and manhandling them and giving them boot up the backside and putting them in vans, and so the people can go to work, what do? They arrest the chap that's trying to go to work. You just make it up, Peter. I my blood absolutely boils. But when you come to Ireland, the problems in Ireland, but let me remind you, Ireland is in the EU. Right, we're not in the EU. We should be able to control what's going on. If Ireland wants to control what's going on, they want to come out of the EU and do it themselves. They won't do anything while they're in that illegal organisation. And that's my message. It's, I know that there is a dire exit, as we had Brexit. There's now other countries, Sweden, are talking about coming out. I don't think France would be far behind if they could get behind Marine Le Pen. But Ireland are in the EU. So let Ireland sort it out with the EU, Peter. It's the EU's fault. So I've not a lot of... I have sympathy with the Irish people, but I've certainly no sympathy with the Irish government. If they want to still stay in with the EU, that's down to them.
Well, on that, we don't even have time to cover what's been happening in Target, who have followed Bud Light's crazy campaign and been decimated. And I know that I saw before we went on that Montana have banned dry queen hours for Children Protect Them. Project Veritas on their uncovering paedophilia rings in America. Fascinating what they're doing. Just want to mention, those are so many other areas that we haven't had time to cover. But Liz, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for your input, your wisdom and your thoughts on all of those stories.
Can I just say one thing, Peter? On the 24th of June, we are launching the Great Resist against the Great Reset down in South Wales. If anybody likes to go onto the Fat Soma website to buy tickets, it's a one-day event on the 24th of June in Newport, South Wales. Everybody would be welcome. We've got wonderful speakers, including one Peter McElvenna. And I don't know whether you know him, but he's an absolutely fabulous chap. But we've got wonderful speakers, not just talking about the problems that we all know about, but talking about the solutions. We're going to have the most positive day out that you can have. So come and join us on the 24th of June. And
what's the website again, Liz?
Sorry?
What's the website again?
Fat Soma is the ticket website, and it's also on the Neon. It's on the centre in the Neon in Newport. Fabulous centre to go to, all mod cons, everything there. Look to come and join us, and we'll do a programme about it, I hope, before then. But I just wanted to plug so that 24th of June.
No, we will certainly put that on social media, certainly starting next week. We'll put that out. And of course, you can find Liz, freedomdigitalbroadcasting.tv. Go and enjoy the range of content that Liz and her team produce on Freedom Digital Broadcasting. Well worth effort. So when we finish, do have a look over on the website. Have a look at what you see and sign up. It's very worthwhile. Liz, I'll let you go. You can enjoy the rest of your evening before I rudely interrupted you. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. As ever, it's a pleasure, Peter.
Always good having you on. And thank you to our viewers for tuning in. Or as I said, if you're listening later on Podbean or the podcast apps, thank you so much for giving us so great figures. This month looks like it will be our best ever. So hope you enjoyed the Sherry, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, that we put up exclusively for you watch or listening. And I wish you all a wonderful rest of your weekend. Bank holiday Monday, but we will be back with you with Patrick Henningsen from UD News Network, from TNT Radio. So many things Patrick's on, and it was great meeting him end of last year at Comcast, and bumped into him at the Truth Be Told rally that Fiona did an amazing job organizing probably 2 weeks ago. So Patrick joins us to discuss his nearly two decades actually of journalism experience on how the media use misinformation and coerce us into pushing us down a certain agenda that is opposite of what we may want to go down. So tune in, Patrick Henningsen on Monday, giving us that media assessment of where we are. So we look forward to seeing you then. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you and good night to you all.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsevoke.org. Thank you for listening.